Turn your Bibles with me this morning to John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 9 through 17. John chapter 15, verse 9 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us. And though we cannot comprehend that love, we thank you for what it led you to do on our behalf in sending your Son to die on the cross for our sin, and that he rose again the third day so that we could rise to eternal life as well if we'll trust him as our Savior. Father, we thank you for that truth. Father, we thank you this morning for those who have given their lives that we as a country might enjoy the freedoms that we have. As we celebrate this Memorial Day, it's really not a celebration, but it's a solemn remembrance. Father, the many sacrifices have been made for us. Help us never to take that for granted. Help us to not give that freedom away. Father, help us to honor those who have given their lives. Father, this morning as we look at another, the greatest sacrifice, help us to understand that. Help us to honor Christ and what he has done for us. We thank you for what you will teach us. Father, I pray you'd help me be clear and accurate in what I say. I pray that you would encourage our hearts this morning with the things that we see from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. What is Memorial Day? Although Memorial Day was celebrated officially in the United States on May 30th, 1988, it actually began over 150 years ago at Arlington National Cemetery as 5,000 people gathered for what they then called Decoration Day to place flowers on the graves of those who were killed in the American Civil War. The audience heard a stirring message from Ohio Congressman James A. Garfield, a lay preacher and former major general in the Civil War who would later become the 20th President of the United States. Garfield began his powerful speech almost apologetically, recognizing the impropriety of uttering words at such a solemn occasion to honor the fallen in battle. Reflecting on the thousands of graves surrounding him, he said, "For the love of country, they accepted death, and thus resolved all doubts and made immortal their patriotism and their virtue." He pleaded with his fellow Americans to forever remember the sacrificial service of our veterans, whose voices from the gravestones will forever fill the land like holy benedictions. On November 19, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln stood on the site of the Soldiers' National Cemetery, now known as Gettysburg National Cemetery, and gave this speech. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, no longer remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. As we look back at the pages of history, we read often of men and women who have given the ultimate sacrifice. We see thousands and thousands of graves at Arlington National Cemetery. We see thousands of graves on the hillsides of Omaha Beach in Normandy, France, and other American military cemeteries across the country. Remember those who have given their lives. But for what? What did they give their lives for? It was for the love of their country, for the love of the people of their country, and for the love of freedom. Why are the soldiers in Ukraine willing to fight and give their lives for their country today? Because they're not willing to give up the freedoms they have to an oppressive nation like Russia. They're willing to die to protect their freedoms. They're willing to die because of the love of their country, the love of their people. This morning, I want to first of all look at the sacrifice for our freedom. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The greatest demonstration of our love for one another is a willingness to give our own lives for them. Ephesians 5:25 tells us that husbands are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for it. John said in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." How did Christ love us? How did God demonstrate his love for us? Let me read some verses for you about Christ's love for us. John chapter 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." John 10, verse 15. "As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Romans 5, 6 through 8. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians 5, 2. "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." In 1 John 4, 7 through 11, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." So how did Christ love us? He loved us by giving his life for us on the cross. Why? Why did he do all that? When God created man in the Garden of Eden, man was free from sin. God created man. He put him in a perfect environment. There was no sin when God created man. But man chose to be a slave of sin. And because as descendants of Adam, we are born sinners, we are now slaves to sin as well. Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, until death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so Jesus died on the cross that we might be delivered from that cruel master that we have chosen. He wants us to deliver us to a new and loving master. He wanted us to have the freedom that he originally intended for us to have. He died because of his love for us, because he wants what is best for us. He died for a love of his people. He died for a love for us and for our freedom. But secondly, I want to look at the remembrance of the sacrifice, and I'm going to ask the deacons if they would come. We're going to take time to observe the Lord's Supper here. Over in 1 Corinthians 11, if you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 26. It says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come." You know, every year crowds gather at cemeteries and memorials all over the nation to remember those who have given their lives for our country. But as we come to this time of communion, it's for the purpose of remembering the ultimate sacrifice that was made for us. That sacrifice was so much more important than the sacrifice that our soldiers made for our country. You say, why do you say that? Because the freedoms that our soldiers fought and died for are something that can be taken away or given away by foolish choices. They're freedoms whereby we can participate and enjoy the temporal things of this earth. But the freedom that Christ offers from sin is a freedom that cannot be taken away. Once we have it, it's ours for all eternity. It's permanent. And it's a freedom that means deliverance from the greatest bondage that man is under by his own choice. This is a time whereby partaking of the bread that represents Christ's body and the cup which represents his shed blood, we're saying that we have received that sacrifice as payment for our sin. We've accepted that as sufficient. And we're showing to others that are gathered here this morning that we are followers of Christ. We are disciples of Christ. And we're willing to follow him and obey him. And this is just one way to observe that, one way to show others that. So I want us to just take a few moments of examination and reflection and thank God for sending his son to die on the cross. Thank him for that this time of remembrance that we have, to remember what he has done. So let's take a few moments and do that. Ask Brother Dave if you'd stand and thank the Lord for the body that was broken for us on our behalf.
Our Heavenly Father, are very thankful for what you chose to do for us. In our human understanding, it's hard for us to fully comprehend how you came into the world, entering a human body. As a helpless baby, and as you matured, you demonstrated to all around you who you really were. You spoke of who you really were, that while the religious leaders said you blasphemed because you claimed to be God, you were thankful that still were willing to endure the persecution, the beating, all that occurred as you were taken from judgment and tortured and placed on the cross. We can't imagine the kind of pain you endured.
Like in 1 Corinthians 11, Jesus says, or it says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Brother Jim, if you would stand and thank the Lord for the blood that was shed for us.
Father, we thank you again for your goodness to us. And thank you for being willing to send your only Son, that he might shed his blood to cover our sins, that we might have eternal life. And thank you that he was willing to do this as you commanded him. We pray that each of us will not take this for granted, that we will constantly think about it, not just on particular days. Help us to remember the power in the blood that can save us from our sins into eternal life. We thank you for this. In Christ's name.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Welcome them back to their seats. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Barb. Why do we do that so often? To help us not forget it. You know, we drive down Montana Street here. We've got at least two cemeteries here. We've got more in town. Those gravestones are a constant reminder to us of those who have died before us. We need a constant reminder of the sacrifice that Christ made for us. So we have the remembrance of the sacrifice. But thirdly, this morning, I want us to look at the maintaining of our freedom. As citizens of this country, we have many freedoms that we enjoy, but as we said before, those freedoms can be taken away and they can be given away. So how do we hold on to those freedoms? How do we make sure that those freedoms are still there for future generations? We have a system in place that gives us a way to give our voice concerning those freedoms. It's called a ballot box. We can be a part of that process. We can be a part of that responsibility. We can vote for those who will work to keep the freedoms that we have. We can hold them accountable throughout their term to make sure they uphold the laws that protect those freedoms. As Christians, we have a freedom in Christ to live our lives according to God's plan and purpose as it is outlined in His Word. It's not a freedom to just live our lives however we want. It's a freedom to live our lives as God wants us to, because that's the best way. But how do we maintain those freedoms? That can't be taken away from us. Our salvation cannot be taken away, but how do we maintain that freedom? Salvation is permanent. There's no way we can lose it. No one can take it away. John 10:28-29. Jesus tells us there the security of our salvation. John chapter 10, verse 28. It says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. But there are things that we can do that will make it appear as if we're giving away those freedoms because of our sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 10 through 16 tells us about that. We can't lose our salvation, but there are things that we do that might appear as if we don't care about it anymore. Romans 6, verse 12. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? What do you think those soldiers would think if they'd come back to this country and they'd see the freedoms that people have given up? Or they go out and they see the riots that people are practicing in the streets and think, I didn't die for this. I didn't die for this chaos, this confusion. We died and we have freedom to live as a responsible people. They'd say, I didn't die for that. When we give in to the lusts of our flesh and the lusts of our eyes and the pride of life, we're giving ourselves over to our old master. And Jesus is saying, I didn't die for that. I didn't die so that you could go back and live the old life. I died so you'd have a new life. We must choose to serve and honor God with our lives. I knew of someone who had served time in prison. Their time for release came up and they were released, and it wasn't just a short time later, they voluntarily walked back into prison and said, I can't handle it out there. They didn't want the responsibility of their freedom. So they walked back into prison. We maintain our freedom by living a godly life, by living according to God's word, living according to His design, according to His purposes. But then fourthly, I want us to look at how do we demonstrate our love for those who have died for our freedom. Again, we can live our lives as responsible citizens, taking care of the things that we have, showing the same diligence in our work and daily lives that our soldiers have shown in the battles for our freedom. It wasn't an easy battle. You ever read the history book? You ever see accounts of the battles that were fought? They weren't easy battles. They weren't easily won. But we can demonstrate our love for them and what they've done for us by living lives as responsible citizens. But how do we demonstrate our love for Christ and what He has done? John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. See, Christ's love involved personal sacrifice. Are we willing to give our lives as a sacrifice for Him? Are we willing to set aside our own desires and dreams to follow Him? Does that mean He's going to ask us to do something that's mundane and difficult? No. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. What he asks us to do is not boring. It's not something that's useless. Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Why is it so light? Why is it so easy? Because he puts it on our back and just helps us? No, he's walking alongside with us. He's right there with us to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We honor the soldiers who have died for our freedom by living as responsible citizens. We honor Christ who died to give us freedom from our sin by giving ourselves wholeheartedly to his good, acceptable, and perfect will. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the sacrifice that was made for our sin. Father, we've chosen to sin. We've chosen to be under that old master. And Father, we thank you this morning that many who are here have chosen a new master. They've chosen to trust Christ as their Savior. They've chosen to accept the gift that was given to them freely. Father, help each one of us to determine to live our lives according to your plan, according to your purposes, to honor you for that sacrifice. Father, again, we thank you for the sacrifice that was made as citizens of this country. Father, I pray you'd help us to live as we should on a day-to-day basis, honoring you and honoring those who have gained those freedoms for us. I pray that you might be honored and glorified in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.